Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me. Yes, he with... Oh my goodness, my hair is so long now. I look a little bit like Chewbacca. It's ridiculous. Anyway, it could be a lot worse. I could look like Jabba the Hutt. But thankfully, I've not been eating as much as Jason Cundy, so if anyone's going to look like Jabba the Hutt, it's... Anyway, let's start this podcast with the former communications director of the FA, Adrian Bevington, with Mark Saggers, Danny Mills and Ray Houghton. They were talking about salary caps in English football.
Those clubs that do go down do have a potentially massive advantage on those that they're playing against, but then it's there because when you get... Everyone talks about the fantastic revenues you get by being promoted to the Premier League. But if you then don't invest, and people talk about £120 million or whatever the exact figure is that you have to spend on players, well, that's transfer fees and that's wages, which up until this point, you know, doesn't guarantee you're going to be able to compete massively well. I still think there's a lot to do on the whole piece with FFP, but I just think the landscape will change dramatically, Mark, once we're through this period, because it has to.
Time now to hear from Katie Price's ex-husband, Simon Jordan. He was alongside Danny Kelly in The Final Word. It's probably Simon moaning about agents.
Oh, agents, I got my...
That sounds like Danny Kelly. Can I do a Simon Jordan?
Let me tell you.
No, I can't. Let's hear from the real people, shall we?
Here's the crux of it. You've currently got, every 3 years, add them together, you've got 8.1 billion being paid to the Premier League clubs, and you've got 400 million being paid to the Football League clubs. And the disparity between the two is vast. And this is what's causing the challenge in the Championship, alongside a refusal to put salary caps in. And this is what's causing the recession and the challenges in League One and League Two. But if you rejig it and say, right, okay, en masse, the Premier League retains its individual status as an island in its own right. The Football League is an island in its own right. But en masse, football in this country brings in 8.4 billion. It gives 70% to the Premier League, which is 7 billion. So the Premier League looks like it's taking a £1 billion pay cut, because sure, ultimately it started with 8.1. But it's not going to under this regime, because it takes 80% to the Premier League, gives 20% to the Football League. On top of that, it takes away the £400 million every 3 years it pays in solidarity to the Football League. It takes away the £150 million every year it pays in parachute payments to the Premier League clubs that get relegated. So it takes back £850 million. So it leaves itself at an almost neutral position. Maybe £100 million over 3 years, a couple of million quid every club out of pocket over 3 years. But what it does then is it recapitalises the Football League. The Football League takes that 1.5 billion and it goes, right, we do this equation. We give 75% to the Championship. We give 15% to League One. We give 10% to League Two. You move the Championship up from £7 million a year TV broadcasting to £15 million. You bridge the gap. So the pain becomes less, the manageability. You're whacking a salary cap so that people can have decent spend in that division, but now have proper revenues. You double the money in League One, so the same thing applies there. You double the money in League Two, and you've brought about a proposal that is redistributing money with no cost implication to the Premier League, but gives the football pyramid an opportunity to survive.
Now, Jim White, Bob Mills and Martin Keown, joined by a huge guest, and the legendary Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger. How about that? Friday, of course, marked the anniversary of Arsenal's final game at Highbury, and Arsene Wenger had some fond memories of managing there.
Oh, that's a surprise, isn't it? Because he was there for a manager for so long. He's got fond memories, has he?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. It was a bit of a tedious link.
You know, sometimes when I was in the area there, I just drive through to go home. I had to go through Highbury, you know, because it's a special place. And I believe that everybody who has been there inside would share that. You know, even the dressing room, you could open the windows. I remember Ian Wright fighting with the supporters outside. You know, today, there's no windows in any dressing room. The link was there. It was a special atmosphere.
And Arsene Wenger also gave his thoughts on Liverpool and the job Jurgen Klopp has done.
He has done extremely well because they wait for 30 years for this title, you know, and when you think that they have such a massive difference with the second team, with Man City as well, 25 points, it's absolutely massive. So they, no matter what England will decide, Liverpool is champion in everybody's head, I think.
And staying with Arsenal, here's the Romford Pele, Ray Parlour, or the Ginger Ninja, as I like to call him, on Breakfast, and how he influenced Arsene Wenger to sign Igor Stefanos by winding Martin Keown up.
Martin Keown, he never got to centre-half on trial, and I think me and Dennis were just like a little ribbing, going, oh, this guy at the back's unbelievable. We've got to sign him, and Martin was along the bench with us, and in the end he bit and said, he ain't that good, he's missed that tackle, he should have been pushing up there, and he's dropped off. And I think Arsene Wenger must have been listening to people like Dennis Bergkamp saying, trying to wind Martin up, but he didn't realise, and he bought him for yeah, I think it was about £100,000 in the end. But, you know, four-year contract, couldn't believe his luck, Igor. Yeah.
Now, I've got an email here. It says, Dear Andy, loving the podcast so far. In fact, one of the main reasons I'm liking it is because there's no Max Rushton in it. Long may that continue. Yeah, here. Right, who's up next? Max Rushton and Barry Glendening. And a bit of a nostalgic game of Cole House. Of course, the game that no one really understands what's going on. Until now, when I tell you there are no rules, they make it up as they go along. Oh, spoiler alert! No one cares.
Eddie McGoldrick.
Ian Marshall.
Ricky Holden.
Alan Cork.
Andy Myers.
Alan Tate.
Greg Downs.
Jed Brannan.
David Rennie.
Didier Six.
Oh, Peggy Arfaxad.
Kevin Drinkle.
Gunnar Haller.
Neil Poynton.
Mark Hazelwood.
Curtis Fleming.
John Bumstead.
Ian Culverhouse.
Oh, well done.
There we are. Absolute classic game from April the 26th, 2015.
Now, this is Stuart Pearce picking the best keeper he played with on Saturday sessions with Jerry Groves and Samuel L. Matterface.
Dave Seam, by far the best goalkeeper in the world, not just England. Incredible. Very relaxed in his presence. Two different goalkeepers as well. Schiltz was a lot more vocal than Dave. Dave had a calm air about him. Schiltz was very, I want a clean sheet today and I'm going to get it at any cost, even if I've got to ruffle a few feathers, you know. If I was to pick one and pressed for one, I think it would be Schiltz. I think his training ethic, you know, there was stories about him at Forest and Derby. He would get through three training kits in one session, you know, if it was raining and muddy. He'd have to take it off because he'd been throwing himself around. Incredible work ethic. And his mentality to want to keep a clean sheet was incredible. You could be 5-0 up in a game if the opposition got anywhere near our goal. It was all about him keeping a clean sheet, which some might say it's a little bit selfish, but I really sort of admired him for that mentality, you know. And look, it's important that we win 5-0, but it's important we keep a nil.
Now on Friday, the end of the week, is when Hawksby and Jacobs air their magnificently successful clips of the week. And because, of course, we've got too much stuff to put into a podcast during the week.
No, you haven't. There's no football on.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, we've decided to put the clips of the week in here.
This is Stuart Pearce now being rudely interrupted.
If you go back to sort of the early days when Gary broke into the squad, he was always above his years, I think, you know.
Can you join us here in the studio for the results of the coronavirus stay-at-home championship?
He didn't overly shout his mouth off a great deal.
Over to you, Gary.
He was always a confident
Manchester
performer.
Manchester City 3.
That says a lot about Stuart, the uncompromising player he was, because when faced with an advert that's been fired off too early, he just shouts over it. He's not having it.
He didn't back down.
He did not back down. No, that's right. And here's Georgie Bingham and Tony Cascarino on Weekend Breakfast.
Thank you for telling us about it, and sorry that we're both not very Irish.
Carl Fogarty. I nearly said it wrong there. Fogarty.
Yeah. Blimey, what about that? Carl Fogarty.
It could have been worse.
Carl Fogarty might have got away with in Ireland if he was playing over there, I suppose.
It's very true, yeah. And here's an equally good recovery from Breakfast Show guest Sir Rod Stewart.
It was unbelievable. Listen, I was going to ask you, Rod.
Ali, listen, I went down at half time to have a drink, and the poor Park boy was on a stretcher.
Poor Park boy. Yeah, well done. Well done, Rod.
Exactly.
Andy, why don't you do this one for us?
Okay, it's a Fisherman's Blues now, and host Nigel Botherway recalling an overseas fishing trip.
We were sharing a camp with four Danish anglers, Johnny Jensen, Fleming Jensen, Morten Jensen, and Machine Gun.
Jensen? I mean, it must be Jensen.
Machine Gun Klaus.
Oh, Machine Gun Klaus, of course. But possibly Andy.
Machine Gun Klaus Jensen.
It could be. It could have been Klaus Jensen. That's right, yeah. So what's next?
It was brilliant. It's Leicester's Iosi Perez explaining how lockdown has brought back memories.
It brings me so many memories when I was very young, where I used to spend so many hours at home playing with myself.
Well, there we are, Ozzy. It happens. And that's why Dad bought those boxing gloves, of course. So, here's the TalkSport caller of the week to the sports bar.
Let's go to Ronnie's up next. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, mate. Oh, sorry, you just caught me in the toilet.
TalkSport caller of the week.
Lovely tinkly effect there, wasn't it?
That's realised he's on national radio. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now we can hear from big Tony Cascarino on the Weekend Breakfast Show with Georgie Bingham, picking his top five, dedicated to Jack Charlton, who was 85 on Friday.
Jack never spent any money on international duty. And one particular day, Georgie, me and Andy Townsend are going to town, because on the Tuesday before we played on the Wednesday, we were allowed to go to Grafton Street in Dublin. And Jack said to us, get me a cap, get us a cap in town. So, okay, Jack, we'll get you a cap. So we went into town. On the way down, and Andy says to me, you get the receipt and I'll give him the cap when we get back to the hotel. We'll present it in front of the lads. So we get him this cap, costs us about £6.99.
Right.
Well, punts as it was in them days. And we buy him it and we think, yeah, we've got him now. We get him in front of the lads. He's last to come in for the lunch or the dinner in the evening. He walks in, we present him with the hat. Lovely, lovely. Sticks on his hat and he's wobbling all around. He says, yeah, lovely, that'll do me for tomorrow and all that like this. And suddenly I go, Jack, £6.99, the receipt. And he just stares at me and he goes, are you two? He said, you were nobodies when I first selected you for the squad. You were at Norwich, you were at Millwall. He said, I've made you millionaires. You two were nobodies. Do you realise? You want £6.99 from me? You are absolutely joke. And he just went into full rant. And me and Andy are literally we can't believe what he's saying, because we thought we were going to get him ridiculed in front of the lads, and it basically backfired on us. He was stingy to a level we was never going to buy a drink. Everything he ever did was always Jack wouldn't get his hand in his pocket. He'd nick cigarettes off people. He would that was Jack. And we all loved it. You know, we'd go to Leopardstown and we'd say to him, Jack, can we have a drink on the way back? And he'd say, no. And then he'd get on the front of the bus and say, OK, look, we'll have a drink. We'll stop off to a pub. He said, but only on one condition. And we'd go, what's that, Jack? I don't buy a drink, was his answer.
Sounds like many people that I've met, too.
Yeah, I know. So a very, very funny man to be around. And number one is the one that always stands out to me, because it's just, obviously, an Italian-Irish background that I had, born in England, New York in 94 in the Giants Stadium. And we're going to the game and all the players on the bus are talking about who will have the biggest contingent of fans. I was saying, look, New York, a lot of Italians and blah, blah, blah. There'll be a split crowd, 50-50. And all the boys were, there'll be boys from Mayo, Donegal, everywhere. There's a huge Irish community from Boston. So it was all quite split about who would have the biggest support in the stadium. Mm-hmm. So we get to the game, we're walking around Georgie and it's literally Irish flags everywhere. Just from Donegal to, you know, to Mayo to Dublin, all these flags and everywhere. And I'm standing there talking to Andy Townsend, chatting away and saying, I can't believe how big our support is today. And I get a tap on my shoulder, look round, Big Jack says to me, do you realise you're the only freaking Italian in the stadium? that looking round at him and laughing, because he always had a sense of humour to him.
Here's Johnny Nelson, the former cruiserweight champion of the world, talking dream matchups with Gareth A. Davis and Catman. That would be a great matchup. I imagine that Catman would come out windmilling, then Gareth A. Davis would just start karate kicking him. I would probably take Gareth A. on points or a knockout. Yeah, knockout. So, oh, that's not what you meant when you wrote that link. Oh, okay.
I've got some little dream matchups for you now. We do this with our stars on the show every week, right?
Go on,
15 title defensives, right? Some of the other great cruiserweights in their prime, and you in your prime. I'm going to start from Tony Bellew against, people are going to love this, Tony Bellew against Johnny Nelson at cruiserweight. What happens?
Nelson wins by stopping.
I like it. He didn't even hesitate. I love it, man.
Ask me a question. Right, I'll right, answer it. I'm not
right. Fine. Johnny Nelson peak against David Haye peak.
Johnny Nelson wins by stoppage.
Love it.
All right. Alexander Usyk versus Johnny Nelson peak.
Johnny Nelson wins on points.
And finally, because Johnny Nelson is now up to 48-12-2 because he's beaten those three in his record. Finally, in Vegas versus Evander Holyfield.
Damn you! I knew you'd say that. Damn you! Johnny Nelson loses on scrappy points loss. Oh, come on. I knew you'd go there.
Now, on last night's My Sporting Life, Mick McCarthy was in conversation with Mark Saggers in a fascinating and revealing 60 Minutes, delving into club and country. The former Republic of Ireland manager talked about the 2002 World Cup campaign, a tournament that began with Roy Keane walking out of the squad following a bust-up with Mick McCarthy.
It was a difficult time because of everything else that was going on. I remember, you know, the first game against Cameroon went out. I can honestly say seldom have I felt as lonely as I did that day, walking out onto the pitch and our fans are behind the goal. And I wasn't quite sure. There's mixed messages coming to me whether did I do right, did I do wrong, what it was. My own views, and I still have, and I thought I'm not going over there to get either, you know,
abuse.
I wasn't going to be prepared abuse for either, so I left the lads to go over there. I sat in the dugout, let them all get on with it. Didn't think it was appropriate actually, because then also it became about me, and I didn't want that. So we're 1-0 down, and then Matty Holland equalises, and we played well in that game against Cameroon, against a really good Cameroon side as well, and you could see then afterwards, you know, it was about the football. Mm. It was how we were going to play, and whether it was about, you know, it didn't matter who the personalities were. It was the team and about the winning, and that's what I wanted it to be. And that's how it turned out to be. Although there was always that in the background, believe me. But it then became the football, yeah. And we played well.
Well, that's it for another podcast. I think good work, everyone. I enjoyed that. It's one of the best ones we've done this week. A reminder, you could download future ones or previous ones from Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That's it. Before I go, let me remind you, I'm back tonight for the first Sports Bar of the Week from 10 p.m. with Moonface. So make sure you join me for Monday night's Sports Bar. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great day. Keep your distance. Wash your hands. Feel free to sit on a park bench if you so wish now. And above all, gang, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.